I have a question, since you guys seem to know about code. You might not be able to answer this. I'm going to have, hopefully, in the near future, some free time when I'm back at college. So I want to try and move into developing some games. I want to try to do some like real simple basic stuff. Just because, you know, it like covers all the bases, so you can do everything, like animation, sound design, all that jazz, which is just sort of fun to do. Right. And I'm wondering what language I should code in. I know nothing. I was thinking I'd do it in Flash ActionScript, just because that's what I animate in.
Flash would work really well if you want to make it so that most people can use it. You won't get iPhone and iPad users because they can't use Flash, but everyone else will be able to access it from whatever computer they've got. So that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. I think you can produce ugly looking things in Java, but you actually want to make something kind of pretty art wise.
I will have to distract from the terrible gameplay with the art. So I think, yeah.
Well, if you're going for Flash, you use Flash.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Webs Comics Company podcast, a weekly sort of podcast about all things comics. I am Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com, and I am joined by Luke Healy.
Yo.
Of LukeWHealy.com. And Zoe Robinson of many, many websites. Which one should I say? Do you want to?
Let's go for ZoeRobinson.com because it links to all the others.
Okay. And today, the topic we had a preview blog up and talking about is, should I care what other artists think of me? However, we will get onto that, but between the point where I wrote that preview blog and now, there has been a fairly big piece of news in the UK comic scene, so big that it has made mainstream, actual BBC news headlines and things like that. And it's that the Dandy has announced that it will be ceasing print production as of November, I believe.
As of 4th of December, which
is quite a big deal. That will be its 75th birthday. The Dandy is home to, if you don't know it, Desperate Dan, who's probably his most famous character, as well as Beryl the Peril, Porky the Cat, and various other characters and stories that you may have heard of. Did either of you ever read The Dandy?
I did.
Okay, I always read the its sister publication, slightly younger, I think by about 2 weeks, Beano. So, but yeah, it's kind of sad in a way.
Yeah, there was a time in my life where I read both The Dandy and The Beano when I was affluent and young and had all this extra cash lying around. But I like you, Luke, I was more sort of a Beano child. But The Dandy did factor into my life. So yeah, it's I'm not going to say that I'm that surprised by the news, though.
Well, the circulation numbers that was in the Guardian article that broke the news, was that The Dandy was apparently getting, it was a fortnightly issue, $1.99 being sold for 8,000, which is nothing.
No.
I'm surprised it lasted that long.
I'm surprised it's that low.
I'm really not, because it's trying to compete with everything else that kids do, and kids don't read anymore. They do, but they don't read print stuff anymore. They go for the internet. They go for little applications on their phones. They text each other. They don't go for a print comic that's stuck in a corner in WH Smith and pretty much not sold anywhere else.
So what you're saying specifically, Zoe, is that electronic media has killed the dandy. It's destroyed. It's gone forever because of technology, the internet, and kids. We hate kids.
I'm not. I'm saying that DC Thompson has killed the dandy by not embracing what the realities of the world are. Kids are online, so why haven't they got an online copy?
I don't know. I mean,
Have you seen their website? Because I had a look at it.
I haven't, no.
Their website is two pages. One is the front page, and one is a list of characters. That's it.
It's like the Space Jam website.
It's terrible.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's a pity Matt isn't here, because Matt is a children. Oh, yeah, if you're wondering where Matt is, Matt works at university, and today or yesterday was the day that everybody got their A-level results, so they are incredibly busy trying to sort out admissions. So, yeah, because Matt does what is essentially a children's comic and puts it out in both print and online. We kind of slightly, because comics in newspapers are terrible, we sort of there's a such schadenfreude glee in the way that saying web is killing print, but when it's something we actually grew up with, like the dandy, it's kind of bitter, really.
I think, though, you know, it's one thing to say that, you know, web is killing print, but if you look at sort of the closest American equivalent to the dandy, and it's not an exact comparison, but probably it would be like Archie comics, because they're both the sort of thing that would be like in a supermarket, you know what I mean, rather than in a comic book shop.
Yeah.
They're both sort of aimed at kids. Archie comics is doing incredibly well. So it's not just the fact that the internet exists, you know, there's some sort of deeper root for why the dandy has gone under.
I wonder if it's slightly inherent in the dandy itself, because the Beano is not. I mean, it went through a very strange and not particularly successful relaunch a year ago, and maybe it is just the fact that you can't continue basically a 75-year-old model or art through to the 21st century, and it's. Perhaps it is the cruel, it is almost Darwinism that maybe it will go, and then the phoenix might take its place in a way. The phoenix is a very exciting looking, in my view, new kids comic. I think for slightly older kids, slightly more literally bent.
I think that the phoenix has a bunch of dandy alumni in it. I could be wrong in saying that, but I feel like there were some artists I used to follow who did stuff with the dandy, and now they're involved with the phoenix.
What happened when the DFC closed?
Yeah, it is. It is the phoenix that is rising from the DFCs.
And it's all stalwarts of the dandy and the Beano. But here's the thing. The dandy can't be being killed because the 75-year-old print model doesn't work anymore, because the Beano gets, 38,000 readers a week?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's on the same model. It's by the same publisher.
The dandy always was sort of like the scrub, though, you know what I mean? Like, it was always second fiddle to the Beano.
Yeah, it was trying to be slightly higher class, where character wasn't an out-of-control bully. And it didn't have a classroom full of nutcases trying to be taught by a guy who's never had a teaching qualification in his life and things like that. Dandy had their main character was a cat who was supposedly cool but never was, and a cowboy.
Yeah.
And that one guy who went really fast. Don't forget that guy.
Oh, Billy Whiz.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember him.
Okay, go. Zoe, you're going to say more about this on Comic Fridays.
I am, yes. Not an awful lot more, because I think we've covered the majority here, and I don't want to double up.
Cool. Yeah. So that's a slight aside, but I felt like it was topical, so we are now.
We are so in the zeitgeist.
We are of the zeitgeist.
Better follow us on Twitter, guys, for the latest.
Let's get out of the zeitgeist and to our pre-scheduled topic, because we must stick with our pre-existing model. Or
rules
else
are there for a reason.
Yeah, we can't deviate from the model. It will not work.
Okay, so the topic that I'm going to discuss is entitled, Should I Care What Other Artists Think of Me? I'll just explain this is a sort of topic of conversation that I've proposed, so I'll explain a little bit what I think. It's kind of a way of judging your own success. I mean, if you're online, you can count hits in various ways, various iterations. But there's a general rule that more hits is better. If you're in print, if you're selling things, then you can go by money, which is quite a good way to measure success, because you can also use money to provide to buy goods and services, like a roof over your head and food to eat and things.
Xboxes and monster trucks, all of us. All the important things.
Yeah, I can see your priorities in life, Luke.
I just want to drive a car that has really big wheels. That's pretty much it for me.
Become a farmer.
Can I be super honest right now? Monster trucks aren't my dream. I hate monster trucks. I don't even know why I said that. Let's move on.
Okay, but the another way, which sort of I think is, it particularly afflicts me, is a slightly self-conscious thing where I wonder what other artists think of me. And that's different from what the general comic reading public thinks. It is largely a fairly small group of people who, in the United Kingdom, who I meet at conventions and things. I call them basically the traveling circus. Because you go to different cities and you meet the same people, and we set up the same basic stalls. I worry quite considerably about what's my level of esteem in this community. Reflecting it is probably slightly unhealthy, but it is how I think.
I think that everybody does it. I know certainly that I do, in a sort of like incredibly like narcissistic, self-obsessed kind of way, where I like sort of rank myself, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You sort of like, and this is really terrible to say, but I think everybody does it, where you look at people and you're like, okay, I'm sort of better than them, and you look at other people and you're like, okay, no, they're better than me. You know what I mean? Like, you place yourself somewhere.
Yeah.
I think I do that. And it's the thing is that the people who are on the ones that you sort of look up to, they're rarely the ones who are giving you a criticism of your comic.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, terrible to say, but...
Yeah. So what do you... Is this something you do, Zoe, or are you free of this slightly?
To be honest with you, it's going to sound a bit weird. I've been doing this for so long that I don't care anymore. Because
you've been broken down.
Well, it's not just that, but I started webcomics before they were webcomics. They were just comics that I put on the internet. And since I started, I've seen people with worse art and worse writing than me make a success of themselves. And I haven't. So the way I see it is, if I'd been obsessed with what artists think of me, what the readers think, and things like that, I would have stopped doing comics years ago. But I don't see a point in trying to compare myself to others, because their audience is not my audience. Their success, it does not reflect on me. So why should I care what they think of my work? Because it's my work and I'm doing it because I want to do it.
I wish I could do that. I would love to just sort of be able to be like, yeah, okay, get out of my way, everybody else. It's just what I want to do. That's it. That's all that matters. But I totally can't.
I bet you will. Once you've been doing it for over a decade, you'll look back and think, well, did what person X said when I was doing this for the first 6 months matter? Did what person Y said when I was two years in matter?
I think that, you know, in a certain way I've gotten to that point, because when I started out, people who I really essentially wanted to impress. I feel like a lot of people start webcomics that way, where they really like a certain people's webcomics and like, okay, you sort of are trying to impress them. You're like, I can do that. I can be good, like my comic. I think I've gotten past that stage where I really don't care anymore, partially because, you know, there's that old adage, you know, don't meet your heroes, you know.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, mistreat's probably a strong word, but, you know, they're not going to humor you, I guess, and that's yeah. their right, and that's good, and they don't, they shouldn't have to. Although I,
mean,
I have,
yeah, in a way, I mean, that, these people are sort of given these roles by sort of us. rather, it's not something that they signed up to be comic artists. They didn't sign up to be mentors or. Yeah.
We can never attack someone like how dare you not live up to my expectations?
Yeah, and there are, I'm sure pretty much every webcomic person has some pretty embarrassing emails they've sent that are sort of like, "Do you look at my comic?" And then you never got a response, and it's terrible. Although I do have to say that, you know, I think it really reflects on certain people that if they do respond and they're like, you know, here's what I like about it, that's great, that's good. Even people who are like really busy, clearly very successful, I think that is awesome when they respond, first of all. You know, nobody's required to, they didn't, you know, like you're saying, Luke, they didn't ask for this. They're not there to guide you out. But I think that if somebody does put the time into that, they get my utmost respect, my supreme respect.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is a sort of stuff I'm experiencing when now I'm at this level and rising possibly and falling maybe, I don't know, but the stuff that it kind of makes me feel like if I do get to that level that people consider, I mean, I do get it very occasionally, people do I do receive those emails just about I kind of think I want to be the person that I wanted people to be when I was sending out those emails.
Yeah.
When I say this happens very rarely, I mean it happens like twice a year. And then I occasionally get at conventions some newish people turn up and have heard of me. But yeah, I mean, what we're saying here, I think, just to make it explicit, is that the way this system works is that there is there are people at the top, and there are people, there are basically tiers down. And it's reasonably easy to work out a sort of ranking between people.
Yeah, that's true.
Between people. And
another thing, I think that it's quite clicky as well. You know, there's groups of people, and you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on. But yeah, it's pretty straightforward to find your ranking, yeah. I guess.
I could say more about that on sort of the circles that I have, but I'm going to hold my tongue here because
we're recording.
people are actually going to hear this.
People may actually, yeah. But it is true that you get these clicks, and it is one of, if people are about to sort of enter that sort of scene, just be aware that sort of happens. And it's also just a simple fact of how a group of about, if you have a group of what is roughly about 100 people, not everybody is going to be everybody's best friend. That's just not how groups of 100 people work. You'll divide into groups, into sort of smaller subgroups of about 8 or 9. And you do just make personal friends, even without really judging people on the quality of their comic. You just make personal friends. And that's not really a bad thing.
No.
But I guess just don't take it too personally.
No, don't. And let me just, like, really quickly, I know this is slightly disjointed from what we're saying, but if you're at the bottom, I guess, which I consider myself to be, or maybe I'm, like, 1% above, I don't know, because I'm not sort of like desperate and raving like I was at the start, you know, don't be so desperate for people's attention. You know, do your work on your own terms and put it out there, and you know, send it to people, whatever, be polite, be nice, but don't be desperate. And on the flip side of that, if you're at the top, if you happen to be listening to this, or if you ever get to the top, be nice to your fans, please, because yes, you do owe them, and just don't try to look like a cool guy and be flippant or whatever. You do owe them because they are your fans, and they're the ones making your success come true. So there, those are my two notes for the ends of the spectrum. Okay, basically, everybody be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Do you guys respond to all the emails you get?
I don't get emails.
I get very few, and I generally do. I had one which was basically incomprehensible, and was very confusing, and I didn't reply. And they said, why didn't you reply to my email? Because it was sounded like a crazy person. I didn't reply to that.
I wondered why you didn't get back to me.
it was very strange. I don't really get that many emails. I mean, I have had one or two. If I get an email, sorry about the stuttering, but I am sort of thinking. I have the Englishman's affliction of trying to be very polite in all things. It might be wise if you want a more brash thing of this to find an American podcast, but I'll say things with a lot more rigor and a
passion.
I won't ever criticize somebody if they say, "Hey, would you have a look at my email?" I might just say, "Oh, that's nice, thanks." If I can't think
sort of like
nice
shiftily thing. Look around and be like, "Hey, thanks." I feel like I brought us off track a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I don't have one thing about sort of reputation to Netsphere is there are kind of practical benefits as well. There is sort of anthologies get thrown around, and the people who go into anthologies are the people with the professional reputations that precede them. If you have somebody on Twitter who has a 20,000 followers, and they say, "Hey, check out this guy's stuff," that is quite useful.
And that really is like, this could be taken the wrong way, but that is how a lot of sort of fledgling comics get made into more popular comics, is, you know, through Twitter recommendations. But I do have to point out while I'm saying that I really think that, you know, the cream rises to the top. If someone's making a great comic and all of a sudden lots of people are recommending it, it's probably not because it's by their friends, it's because it's a good comic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm actually of the opinion that stuff is fairly meritocratic in here.
To a certain extent, I'll agree with that, but there is an awful lot of luck involved as well. You could have the best thing going, but if no one ever actually finds it, then you're never going to get found, and you're never going to get seen.
I think people do see things, though. I think this is...
I disagree. I've seen some fantastic comics that never got readership, and then they got cancelled because the person doing it thought, well, I'm spending all this time and effort on it and not getting any feedback, so they stopped. But the stuff was great.
Yeah, I feel like we did an episode on this, no? Success in webcomics, something along those lines? I think we did. I'll find it. I'll get the link to you, Zoe. We can, so they can go listen to that.
Cool.
We can hop back on the criticism train.
Let's flip that on its head and say, what should be the etiquette for promoting other work that you think is great? So this can apply also to maybe a reader. Maybe you don't have a web comic, but you've got some sort of web presence which has some. How much should you be sort of digging out and finding things to promote? That's a silly question. Obviously, a lot. But
I'm not sure about digging out a lot. I don't think it's the job of the reader to go and hunt down new comics. But if you have a comic that you read regularly and you like it, tell people. Click that like button on Facebook. Maybe share it on Twitter. Or just send an email to someone you know that will like it, saying, "Hey, I've seen this comic. I know you're in, I don't know, filing or something, or you're a photocopier operationer, and this comic's about that kind of work, so have a look, it's good."
I wholly endorse that. promote stuff if you can give money, that's fantastic, but if you can also give some degree of advertising, some degree of specific advertising to particular people who would like things,
and
that is one of the best services you can do to.
And I think if people, you know, you said maybe if they have a following online, whatever, if people are following you like on Twitter or something along those lines, when I say something along those lines, I basically mean if you have followers on Twitter, they're obviously following you because they respect your taste and your opinion. So if you like something, just recommend us. But, you know, I don't think many people have a problem with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Be nice. It's nice to be nice.
Be nice. I think be nice has basically turned out to be the overriding message of what we've been saying.
I feel like we're getting away from should I care what people think about me? Or for what other artists think of my work, I guess.
So, yeah, should you care what people think? To what extent should you consider it a reasonable evaluation of...
I saw actually, and this is coincidental, I totally didn't have this prepared. I was like typing away just at the start of the episode. I saw on Tumblr Neil Gaiman put up a link to an article that was on the Huffington Post or something, or BuzzFeed, that was like tips from authors. And one was actually by him. It was a quote, and I thought it's fantastic. And I'll just read it now because I'm pretentious and I like to read quotes by authors. It says, remember, when people tell you something's wrong or doesn't work for them, they are almost always right. When they tell you exactly what they think is wrong and how to fix it, they are almost always wrong. I think that's such a great little capsule of knowledge. And he's full of those, so you should follow him on Tumblr because he's somebody who's great with his fans. Just to go back to what we were talking about earlier, he's so great and so respectful and so nice.
Million trillion fans.
He somehow manages to keep up with it, though. I mean, people really love him, and I think that's definitely part of us.
Yeah, just something to add there. Don't try and get Neil Gaiman to link to your comic because he will crash your website.
That's true. There's like a word for it, isn't it? You get Gaiman, or is it? Neil failed. That's the thing.
It's like when Penny Arcade wangs something, they put a link up and then the site falls over.
Oh man, MS Paint Adventures does that too. They crashed Newgrounds.com, which was very impressive to me. This was about to become me just being like, hey, go like Neil Gaiman, which I think it already did for a second there. I'll dial it back. But, you know, I think that learning how to recognize what is good criticism and what isn't is a skill, one that I don't think I've entirely mastered yet. But I think that the most important thing to do in terms of that is, you know, you have to be confident in your work and confident in why you're doing the things you're doing. If somebody says, that's wrong to me, and you don't have a really good reason for why you're doing it, then you need to think about it. But you get a lot of critiques from people who like to hear their own voice, and that's fine. And I think, you know, you should respect and sort of let them speak and then choose whether or not to heed what they're saying, and be sort of, you know, nice about it. But at the end of the day, it's your work, and you're the one who's going to be taking responsibility for it. So learning how to sort the wheat from the chaff in terms of criticism is something I think is very important. I'm not sure
other artists that you come across are necessarily the best source of criticism, because there's so much noise in there in terms of people won't say things that could make them seem like a tick.
Totally.
Well, some will, but some won't. There's also the whole mesh of personal friendships and other things. So because there isn't really, at least for webcomics, a independent commentariat. This is something I would really like for there to exist, but there basically isn't. There aren't people who are respected enough,
I guess in a more sort of abstract sense, I'm going to have to say there are. I think, you know, Google Analytics, that's it. Yeah, that's I think it comes back to that it's the crowd. And that's how, you know, that's how the big comic book industry works. It's all about sales, you know what I mean? Like the books that are popular or the books that are successful are the ones that sell. And you know, I guess, well, I guess there's maybe a role for, like, critics. A lot of stuff is critically acclaimed and considered to be great, and then maybe doesn't sell quite so well. But I don't know. I don't know what's the answer. I guess you're right. I think maybe that is something that's missing for independent comics. I don't know, because I think that, you know, well, I mean, indie comics, the whole scene is quite incestuous, you know. You don't poop, really eat. You really, I think that a truly, like, raw, honest opinion is something that's going to be quite hard to come by. I know that there's many cases where I haven't really said what I thought about somebody's work.
Yeah, there are a few reviewers out there, but the scene is so small that anybody who sort of approaches the scene gets absorbed into it and is no longer independent.
What you need to do is be so successful that Time magazine writes about your book, and then, or the New York Times, and then you're good. You're good. You're solid.
Okay. Basically, that's so just Penny that.
Or Alison Bechdel.
Yeah.
Her book was on the cover of Time.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Or the New York Times. I forget which is which. I know which is which. I forget which hers was on. but you know what I mean? Like, unless you're getting proper criticism, I don't know what the answer is. Yeah. Trust yourself.
I think we're just about coming towards the end of what I wanted to say today. So do you guys have anything you want to tag on to the end before we close the recording?
Yeah, I have one thing to say. It's all well and good to be interested in what other artists and your readers think of you, but at the end of the day, if that's all you're chasing, you're not going to get it, because you've got to have that essence of I'm doing this because I love it, because if that's not there, then they're going to see that it's not there and your work's going to suffer. So by just chasing that without any thought to anything else, you're actually going to miss it.
Cool.
I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. Well, I think your suggestion, be nice. I want to make that the stand out in glowing letters.
I want to get that tattooed across my face, just so people will see it more often.
It's such a shame we're an audio only podcast.
You're right. I'm so sorry. Let's change the banner of the website. Yeah.
To your forehead would be nice. but maybe it'll help you make friends in your new in your new
company. It can happen. People like people who are nice.
Cool.
Be nice.
If you, the listening people out there, have opinions on whether we should be nice, whether it is you should care what other artists think, whether you should be completely disregard that, whether you think we should have some sort of commentariat for webcomics, or how do you review your own work? Get in touch. You can comment on the website. If you comment on the post which contains this podcast, there's also a contact form. We're all on Twitter. Basically, if you shout into the wind will carry your voice over to the four corners of the earth where we are we are present, and you let us know. Hopefully next week we should have Matt with us.
Possibly we might not have you,
Mr. Luke Keeley, because you will be en route to the States.
Oh, that's possible. I'll do my best to make it for next week. I'll probably be gone for a while, though. So you may miss my dulcet tones. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. We're going to get you to record some sound bites. I'm just going to splice them in.
Oh, we always say this is going to happen. Can we make it happen this time?
Yeah, we'll make
it
happen.
Can we do a soundboard?
Maybe we did it this week, and Luke has just been a voice on a computer that I'm pressing the buttons for.
And you'll never know.
Okay, on that cliffhanger, we're going to say goodbye. So it's been goodbye from me, Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com.
Bye, it's Luke Healy of LukeWHealy.com.
And it's been goodbye from me, Zoe Robinson of ZoeRobinson.com.
You've been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast.
What was with the pause?
Yeah, did you pause or did it just cut you off? And
I don't think I paused.
Oh, it must have been a thing on Skype. There was like a giant pause between the words webcomic company and podcast.
That's in the electronics. It's not me. So you can edit that out, or maybe it's just hilarious. I don't know.
I think it's funny enough to leave in. Yeah. Oh, so the suspense. The webcomics company. What were they listening to?